Welcome, everyone. I'm Joe Morello. I'm the Vice President for Administrative Services. I'd like to welcome you all to our kickoff meeting for the Campus Health, Safety, and Emergency Preparedness Committee. What I want to start off with is a review. First of all, just to make sure that you can see my screen, if anyone is looking and you can see the agenda, just give me a thumbs up sign or like it looks good. Okay, thank you, Robert, for that. So this is our agenda today. I'm going to move through it as quickly as possible. Our meeting time ends at 2:05, and that's a hard stop. I know personally I've got to jump on to another meeting at that point. The way things work in the committee is this committee is open to the public. Anyone can tune in, watch, and listen, but the right of recognition goes to committee members. But if someone from the outside wants to raise a question or has something that they want to bring up, they're more than welcome to, but I will recognize committee members first. Please use the raise your hand function. If you wish to speak, don't jump right in and speak without using that, and then you'll be recognized. Prior to starting, I just want to review our campus norms on gathering spaces. We do this at the start of each meeting. And again, this is to keep ourselves centered in the work that we're doing. We're here on the campus representing not only our constituencies and our students, but everyone, the community that uses the campus. And we want to take time and always remember that when we communicate with each other, we do so respectfully, that we can have disagreements and those are fine. We don't have to agree on everything, but we just want to be able to listen to each other and engage and do so respectfully throughout the meeting. So I wanted to cover that to start with. The next thing is we need to determine our committee membership for this year. And when I say determine, all we're trying to do is make sure that we have the people listed here that are committee members. So I'm going to read through the list. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say the position. If you could just unmute yourself and say either here or representing that group, I'd appreciate it. So for public safety, Jim Vangeli.
Here.
Facilities manager, John Doctor.
Here.
Bookstore manager, Kevin Chack.
Here.
Director of Community Relations and Marketing, Sherry Colleen. Okay, Sherry's not here. Director of Student Support, Judith Martinez.
Here.
Welcome, Judith. Dean of Enrollment Services, Will Minnick. Dean of GLPS, Sid Gorey. Dean of KAD, Dino Nomikos.
Here.
Faculty representative for AFT, Jessica Silver Sharp.
I'm here.
Good to have you, Jessica. Faculty representative for AFT, Lori Slickton.
Yep, I'm here.
Welcome, Lori.
Thanks, Joe.
Faculty rep for BEEP or the Child Development Center or COSMO. Tina, I see that you're here. Are you the rep?
Yes, I am for business education and professional programs.
Great. Welcome. Faculty representative for STEM, Robert.
Here.
Thank you. Great to have you. Faculty rep for counseling, Kwame. Is Kwame here? Okay. Rep for KAD is vacant right now. Social science and creative arts, Ms. Sal.
Here.
Great to have you, Ms. Sal. Faculty rep for ASLT, Jason.
Here.
Welcome, Jason. Nice to have you. Faculty rep for language arts, Jared.
Here.
Welcome, Jared. Classified rep, CSEA, Lori Lisowski.
Here.
Good to have you, Lori. Lori, is there a second rep for CSEA? Has anyone
yes.
been appointed? Who
yes,
is that?
It's Donna Elliott.
So Donna is here. So Donna was also the health center rep. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. AFSCME, I've reached out and they have not gotten back to me with their two reps. For Creative Arts, it's Josh Harris. He can't be here today. For ASLT, who is the classified rep? Is anyone here from ASLT as the classified rep?
The classified rep is Hong Gao.
Okay.
But I don't believe he's here.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica.
Sure.
For STEM, Musa.
Yes, here.
Thank you. For Strategic Partnership and Workforce Development, Elizabeth.
Hello, here.
Great, great to have you, Elizabeth. Student reps, I went to the ASSC, they have not appointed yet. And then anyone for the VPI office?
Joe, we might have the student rep here.
Oh, we might, who?
Ingrid Jimenez.
Ingrid, are you the student rep?
I am not the student rep officially. I am just covering for ASSE today.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Nice to have you.
Thank you so much.
And then, okay. So any rep for the VPI office?
Joe, Sherry's here.
Okay. Perfect. VPSS? I don't see any. And none for the president. So Paul, do we have 17?
We do. We have 18.
Okay, perfect. So we've got a quorum. Thank you, everyone. So now the meeting minutes from May 5th, we sent that out to everyone. It was part of the meeting invite. Can I have a motion and then a second to approve the May 5th minutes? And again, if you could just raise your hand because it should pop up on my screen. Oh, I got two raised hands. Perfect. Hold on. I got to see who those are. Lori Lisowski.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Jim Vangeli.
I'm a second.
Thank you. Are there any discussion, any changes, anything that people thought looked wrong? Not seeing any hands raised. What I'd like to do to speed this along, does anyone not vote to approve the minutes? If you don't vote to approve, use the raise hand function. Are there any abstentions? Not seeing any, that passes. Okay, so now we have updates. Donna, have you joined us? Are you out there? Okay, so I'm going to stop this share for a second. And then let me do a share screen again because Donna sent me something here. And then I can go through that. So I'll just read it to you. It was Donna's report. She wanted to report that the health center is open, that the nurses are working Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Fridays from 9 a.m. to noon. And they're doing in-person and virtual appointments. You can log into the health and wellness page for more information about the nurses' hours and services. Students can do TB testing, some immunizations, and health screenings. They will have free flu shots for staff and students. For personal counselors, those are available from 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Thursday, and Friday from 8:30 to 11, both in person and virtually. There are personal counselors do personal counseling. They have three permanent counselors and several interns. And our health center is located in building 19. So that is the report from Donna. Are there any questions on that?
You said it was on the website, I'm sorry?
Yes, it is. The health services, if you type in on the Skyline site, health services, that information will be there. Dino raised his hand.
Joe, and masks are required, correct, for all students that enter the health center and staff?
I believe so, because it's considered a medical facility, but I Donna would know for sure. I'm assuming
we had reached out to Donna. She said that was the protocol.
Okay.
And Joe, Ray Hernandez here. I can confirm that they, per OSHA guidelines, have different guidelines, and they are treated as a medical facility.
Okay, perfect. Let's go to facilities, John Doctor.
Good afternoon, everyone. Give you guys an update on building one. The restrooms are open on the first and third floors. The second floor restrooms will be completed in winter break. New elevator will be completed in winter break also. Right now we're working on the atrium window caulking. The band room is mostly completed. Ceramics kiln building, which is on the outside, is ongoing, and that's going to be erected pretty soon. And then the photo lab is continuing to complete. Any questions on building one? Okay. For building two, the state architects approved the plans, and we're hoping that it goes out to bid by the end of this month. For College Ridge Housing, the move-in schedule is by the end of September. And in our last meeting, someone brought up parking lot signage. If you guys remember, we used to have large parking lot signage on lighting poles. We had to take those down due to severe corrosion. I did bring it up to the district office, and we're going to try to put it in the master plan. However, that's going to be a long process to replace those signages. And that's basically it for facilities.
Masao has his hand raised. Go on ahead, Masao.
Yeah, I just had a question about building two. Mm-hmm. If everything goes on schedule, and I understand that basically almost never happens, but if everything goes on schedule, when would construction or renovation start on building two?
We are hoping within next year, mid next year.
So okay. John, when you say mid next year, are you saying
to start?
Are you talking academic year, or are you talking calendar year? So are you talking construction in
about
January
summer?
Or yeah. Summer? Okay.
Summer.
Did that answer your question, Ms. Sal?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions for John? Okay, let's move on to Jim, public safety.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? Okay, so I want to just give a brief overview of some of the basic functions that public safety performs at Skyline College. This is not all inclusive, but these are just pretty much the main basics. So we maintain a safe and effective campus and ensure that operations are being conducted as scheduled. We investigate suspicious activities. So we encourage everyone to help us by being our eyes and ears within our campus community. If you see something that looks out of place, see something that looks like could be leading to a problem, just give public safety a call. 738-7000. We'll send an officer to go check it out. And if more resources are needed, like police or fire, we will liaison with them and have them respond to rectify the situation. We're currently stocking all the mask dispensers throughout campus. We did it again this morning. So they should be looking good as of right now. Depending on student flow and day of the week, sometimes they get depleted a little quicker than other times, but we try and stay on it. We could also use your help. If you see a dispenser that looks empty, just give us a call and we'll get somebody out to fill it. We also provide information and guidance to our campus community. So people that come on campus, whether it be new students, new faculty, just community members that are trying to get somewhere, don't know where it is, we guide them as to where to go and help them with any questions they may have. And then we also enforce parking. And to touch on that, staff permits have been received at Skyline College, and they are going to be disseminated to all employees, I believe through the individual department and division deans. And then that will allow us to have much improved operations in our staff lots. Currently, it's been very difficult for us to determine which vehicles belong to staff and which vehicles belong to students. Once the staff permits have been received by everybody and are being displayed in staff vehicles, then we'll know. Obviously, we put students first, so we're going to, you know, be nice and issue warnings initially to violators. And then after that, people who prefer the hard way will get citations and fines. We hope not too many, but the way society works, there's always some. So that will increase efficiency and operations on our campus. And just a reminder as well, anyone is empowered by the student code of conduct to deal with the parking lot violations or any student violations. So we've had some issues recently where people would complain, call public safety, and then the situation is already, ended by the time that, you know, we get the call and get out there. So if any staff member sees a student parking in a student in a staff lot, they are empowered by the student code of conduct to confront the student politely and say, you know, this is staff parking. You can't park here. Please, you know, move to a student lot. And if the student refuses, you can ask for a G number and start the student discipline process. I know the student discipline is very fair on campus, so you're not really getting someone in trouble. You're just helping to correct poor behavior. And if somebody refuses to give you a G number and refuses to identify themselves as a student, then you call us. We'll come out there. We'll call the police, and we will have that person removed from campus because every student is required to identify themselves as a student and prove that they are a student by giving a G number. And anyone who refuses to do so can be removed from campus. And we will absolutely do that for uncooperative people who are negatively impacting our daily operations and making things difficult for staff and students who are really trying to learn and secure their futures. So public safety basically is here for everyone, and we're here to help everyone. And even if something's not particularly under our umbrella of services, we will get you to the right people. So don't ever feel that you can't call public safety. We may not be the ones that actually rectify or solve your problem, but we will get you to the division or department that can help rectify or solve your problem. And if anybody has any questions, most of you know my cell phone number. All of you know my email. Definitely feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to help. I see Lori's got a hand up.
Yeah. Hi, Jim. Just a question, a follow-up about the parking. So this is a change to the previous system, right? Where we all had to fill out those forms with our license plates and stuff, and that was supposed to take care of it where we weren't going to need a permit. That's one question. The other is it still free for students? They just have to park in their spots?
Correct. Question number one, yes, there has been another change. That system, the cost effectiveness of it was intended to include students and staff, but since students are now free, the cost it's not warranted just for staff to have the electronic program. So we are reverting back to the physical permits. If you recall, they're kind of plastic. They hang from your mirror. They're like silver and blue. So those are being going to be distributed over the next week or so. And yes, students are free in student lots. I believe they can park in staff lots for $43 a day, which is the cost of our citations.
Robert has his hand up, and then it's Kevin. Go on ahead, Robert.
Thank you. Just two quick questions, one to the permit and then one as far as escorts go. So if the staff for some reason loses the permit, I'm not saying I'm going to lose it, but if they were to lose the permit, what would be the process to obtain a new one? And two, as far as at some places that I've been to, mainly hospitals and some institutions, I know that like our security would provide an escort if a faculty member or maybe a student, it's late at night and they need to get to their car and they don't feel safe or whatnot. I know that in previous experience, they're able to call public safety and then public safety can have an officer there to escort them. I don't know if they provide that here. If you could clarify for that, thank you.
Oh, it's health and safety committee.
Yes, the to address your first question, if you lose your permit, we definitely would appreciate being notified so that it's not being improperly used by somebody who
they're going to give us parking permits
to go and back then, if you need a replacement, you contact your dean and then they would go through the
appropriate. Yes, students have been parking in our staff.
Is there a question?
No, that's okay.
So then you would get a replacement through your dean. And the safety escorts, 100%, absolutely, we do that. We're happy to do that. All you have to do is call 738-7000. We will send an officer to either meet you in the parking lot to escort you to your office or classroom or any other place on campus, and vice versa. We will escort you from anywhere on campus to your vehicle. The only thing we ask on that is that you give us a little lead time, maybe 10, 15 minutes. Best thing to do is call from a cell phone. I know reception isn't the greatest at Skyline College, but it's not non-existent. So just for safety purposes anyways, you should always know, depending on your carrier, which are the good areas and zones on campus that you do have signal. So when you have some downtime, walking to lunch or whatever you're doing and you're not in a rush to get somewhere, I recommend walking around campus with your phone out and seeing where you have the highest number of bars. And then call us, you know, with 10, 15 minute lead time and say, hey, my class is ending at this time, or I plan to arrive on campus at this time. Could someone please meet me in whatever lot? And we'll get there. The only issue we've had in the past with this is people call us, they say, oh, I'm running late. I need an officer right now. And it's like, well, you know, we can't get there immediately. It does take us a little bit of time. Sometimes we're finishing up another call or other duties, and then we have to get to the specific location. So 10 or 15 minutes heads up before you actually need it is really appreciated, but we absolutely will get you to and from wherever you need to go safely.
Okay, so then it's Kevin and then Jared, and then after Jared, I want to stop it there because then we have to move the agenda forward. Go on ahead, Kev.
So question for those who have the newer cars with those stupid Wi-Fi data boxes on the windshield, that's where the rearview mirror is. If those don't fit the rearview mirror hangers for parking permits, how would you advise to handle those situations?
The physical parking permits are designed to hang on the rearview mirror of a vehicle, but that's not the only place they can go. You can put it on the dashboard. You can, some people have seat organizers that are, you know, draped over or connected to their seats. You can hook it onto that. As long as an officer can reasonably see it through a window, that's definitely satisfactory displaying of the permit. But just be careful if you put it on your dash, don't let it slide down beneath the windshield where the numbers are obstructed. You know, make sure it's in an area where the entire permit can be seen. But if you can see it once you exit your vehicle, we can see it. So just, okay, you know, cool. That's good enough.
All right, thanks.
And then Jared.
Just a quick point, or quick, I thought. We accept the fact that cell coverage is really bad on our campus. I think it's unacceptable, and it's also a safety issue. Is there a way that this body, I'm new to the committee, mea culpa if I'm, don't know, but is there a way that this body can advocate for better cell coverage?
And Jared, you're speaking to the choir. It's actually, it's on the agenda to at least start the discussion at the bottom. So wholeheartedly agree. I think if there's one thing we can all agree on, it's that our cell coverage here is terrible. So thank you. Yes.
And I can speak bring that to on Senate that. Too. I mean, this has been an issue for years, and we've discussed it at the district safety meeting as well. Unfortunately, this is solely up to the cellular carriers. And because we're located up in the hills and not down by 101 in the airport, they have told us that they just do not have enough cellular traffic to justify the extreme cost of putting in more cell towers and so forth. They said that each tower is roughly $200,000 to $250,000, and then there's upkeep and maintenance. And that, you know, even on 280, there's just not enough usage to justify the cost. So they, at this point in time, they've refused to do it.
And we can talk about it and go through it, because I agree. We need to try and push as much as we can, any way that we can to improve the service. Let's go to emergency preparedness, continuity planning. That is Ben Zara. And Ben Zara, I'm going to ask, try and really keep it to format. That last piece took a bit longer. So if you could be quick in your overview.
Yes, I'm going to be very quick in my overview, because my wife just texted me that my son fell at school and she wants me to call the school. So I will definitely finish within 4 minutes.
Okay.
So first, what we're going to cover is the new professional development series of CPR that's being covered, that we're offering on all campuses. Joe, you've disabled the screen, so I'll just put the address in the chat for where you all sign up for. Chat.
It's also on the agenda, Benzar.
Okay.
Perfect. So it's right there. Our first aid CPR and AED training is scheduled for October 12th, 2022. This is the email address that that you would click as a link. You can share this with people in your department and send it to them.
Perfect.
And Jessica, did you have a question on that?
Not a question, just a quick comment, which is that we did check and adjunct faculty are not eligible to be paid for that training, and we're hoping that leadership on this committee can help advocate for adjuncts who
that day is our campus flex day. So any adjunct who attends will be able to be paid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's the campus flex day.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. That's 10/12/2022.
I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay. Go on ahead, Benzar.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to keep biting at seven, Joe, so I can also hasten the meeting to catch us up. So our building captain program, we have three different trainings that are coming up. As Joe mentioned, Skylines is going to be in the portable on 3B, in portable 3B. It's October 19th, 20th, and the 21st. We do have CPR in that training as well. So for people that additionally that can't get into the PDA trainings that want the full building captain training, please consider those. Remember that you don't have to go to strictly Skylines building captain training. You can come to the College of San Mateo's and to Kenyatta's training, and you can mix match the days in case some of the days don't work out for you, but you need to complete all 3 days to be a building captain. Next update, we have finished our emergency action plan, and I know it had been discussed briefly within the safety committee, this safety committee, and within satellite safety meetings of Skyline, if we could have written instructions for specific medical emergencies that may present themselves to different divisions and departments. And so we have completely updated our emergency action plan. It's about 65 pages, and it has detailed directions on every single emergency that you will find on campus. We are linking those to our emergency posters, and as soon as we get the website up and running, we will put the posters up, because the QR codes on the bottom are what attach to, or it's where Our emergency action plans are attached through the QR codes on our new emergency posters. So as soon as we get that website running, we will be pulling down all of our old emergency posters and putting up all of our new ones. The Great Shakeout is coming on 10/20. It will be at 10/20 in the morning. It is a combination of a drop, cover, and hold on, and an evacuation drill. We're supposed to evacuate annually once, or we're supposed to, we're required to. And so this will fulfill federal regulations and California Code of Regulations for evacuation, but will also teach us about earthquake safety. For those of you who have not already, please sign up for the Rave Guardian application for Android or for iPhones. Joe, that's all I have for right now.
That's fine. And go take care of your family. Not a problem. And the Rave Guardian is on an employee's Web Smart, correct? They can sign up there.
Yep. And so everybody should, all employees are automatically enrolled, but while we're working with a project on HR and updating some of our hiring policies to include cell phone numbers, in Banner, phone numbers are stored as primary phone. And a lot of the primary phones that our employees originally gave our employer weren't cell phones, right? And so a lot of our emergency contact data in Banner hasn't been updated. So we're trying to create a policy that all employees have to submit an emergency cellular number so they can be notified of an emergency. And all employees are automatically enrolled into Rave every night at midnight. We have a data dump that occurs at 11:59 every night. But if we don't have your right information in Banner, we're not going to be notifying you at the right phone number. So we're working on that side. If you do not get notifications for our upcoming drills, we will also be releasing notifications in the upcoming days. You'll be seeing those. Sorry, I really need to touch on this, Joe. For the high heat advisory that's coming for this weekend, we expect about 4 days of high heat. So we will be sending out a notification at the end of today and end of tomorrow. I've already updated the emergency website for information for everybody. But if you do not get those emergency notifications, please call me or email me, and I will manually put you into the system with your correct cell number. And so please take note in the next few days that if you're not receiving notifications from the district emergency notification system, to call me and let me know. That's all I have.
Okay. Thanks. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so now let's go to, were there any questions for Benzara? At all, anyone? Okay, perfect. So why don't we go to Ray? You're up.
Thanks, Joe. Can you allow share screen capabilities? Hello, everybody. Happy start to the fall. I did. Thank you. Great. Can't believe it's already September. Well, we're all on our way. I want to start from macro, then come to micro to changes to our policies and procedures thus far. So I'm always first like to start with just the CDC COVID tracker website. Because we know that coincidentally, and it left me. Our numbers changed from orange down to the green, and just wanted to again give us context that two main metrics that we're looking at. We're looking at the transmission rates in the county and then admissions overall. And so back in May, April, we started to see transmission rates go up. That put us into the yellow. And then subsequently with those admissions rates or transmission rates, we saw admission hospitalization rates go up. However, having said that, again, severe disease, meaning ICU admissions, still maintain relatively low. And then over the summer, when we look at the trends in terms of reported transmissions, COVID positives, we saw that decline starting in July and then into August. And what happened was both of those metrics moved down below the threshold and it bypassed the yellow to the green. And of course that happened the same week that we started classes. So with that said, you know, we do for our mask mandate, we do have our own protocols here at the district. And just as a quick reminder, masks are only recommended in the green. They are required via the district in the yellow and the orange. And so currently we're still seeing a continued downward trend on the transmission rates. So we'll be keeping an eye on that and certainly You know, just keeping an eye and certainly making people aware if we're starting to see a trend upward in that. The other piece in terms of questions that we hear a lot is how is this being communicated? And so the PIO is not here, so I'll try to summarize it. So we do have the information on the website and links to the COVID tracker so that people can look. Within Canvas, we do have the message as soon as people log in. And then I know the PIOs at each college weekly are providing just updates, and they include what the mask level is. And then the district, if there is going to be a change, they will be the ones who facilitate that change when that occurs. And then the last piece, there has been recommendation for including messaging with our messaging system. And so I have forwarded that to the district PIO, and they're having conversations with the PIO in that respect. Jim already talked about masks and how they're making them available. So from the CDC, I want to talk about a couple of things now. And so I'll put these in the chat. And so this is the summary that came out from the CDC about the intentions for just changes in general. So we have definitely moved from pandemic to an endemic phase with recommendations, and the CDC in this article really kind of lays that out. And the piece that we're looking at right now is really now, while there still is risk and we know the risk is there, that risk is no longer managed from a state or county level. And it's now moving from mandating to guidance to the individuals. And so we're right now looking at formulating information for helping people understand that, but using this guidance that you see here from the CDC and for the individual to know their risk, how to protect themselves, taking action if exposed, meaning wearing masks, the district ensuring continuous maximization of ventilation, and then of course the guidance that we have for our campus if anybody tests positive. So that's really the framing. And then the other piece that came about, and I did make mention to at one of the last health and safety meetings across the district, I had talked to all three campuses, is that, you know, I was keeping an eye out for guidance on what was changing in terms of CDC and CDPH in terms of investigation. And so they have sunset their investigations. They no longer are requesting or requiring that, and they're not recommending that anymore. So tracing at a high level, one-on-one, is no longer a thing. So with that, we move to the guidance piece, and the guidance is now that if somebody tests positive, we are requesting that individuals then report it. And we sent out that messaging. Get that up here.
Ray, while you have a second, Lori has her hand up.
Sure.
Hey, Lori Slicken. Lori, you're on mute.
Is that better? No? Nope.
Yes.
I couldn't see it. No, I the word phrase from pandemic to endemic is used at the board meetings as well. And I think the public hears that as though endemic means it's not something to be concerned about. And I understand that, you know, infection rates are down now, which is great. Hospitalizations and ICU have been down in some areas. But there are a lot of endemic diseases that are terrible, like valley fever or other things. So the endemic means it's a constant in the population. So yes, we understand we're living with it, but it is still a pandemic because the world is still living with it. But yes, it's going to be here. And I think sometimes the language needs a little bit of a clarification. So we understand we're going forward with it, and hopefully we don't have another variant like Delta or something like that that comes back, which is still the same virus, but just a new variant.
Yeah, and we're seeing that certainly with monkeypox as well, right? That hasn't been prevalent, and now it's come before us. So understood that, and I'm always also adding that the risk is still there. And so I would just say, as we're moving forward, we are now looking at what can people do to protect themselves? How do we get people moving forward with that? So again, as we're moving forward, the reporting protocols are now guidance protocols. and the district continues to provide that guidance when people do report. So just to say in this piece, because we don't have a whole lot of time, Joe, you went on ahead and you attached it here, and it's great for all of us to forward this to our colleagues, for faculty to forward this to students again. But just as a reminder, all of the protocols are there for where you go to report your test. And then within that website too, to have people watch the video if they've not watched the video, because it will go through again the updated isolation exposure decision tree. So just make sure to emphasize that. And along with that, I'm no longer doing investigation, direct investigation, but I am still monitoring the reportings because per Cal/OSHA, we still need to monitor for any transmissions on campus and clusters. And so I am doing that. And as we're looking at this, we're transitioning the COVID exposure page really now to this cluster page. And we do know over the last 2 years, we've had almost none in terms of possible transmissions. And even for those possible transmissions, it's still hard to decipher whether they happened on campus or outside of campus. But we do know that cohort-based models such as the athletes, such as healthcare programs, and very close work groups are probably more at risk. And so we're keeping an eye on that as well.
So Ray, you've got two hands up. First, Judith, and then Jared.
Hi, Ray. Are there any specific guidelines on language used on signage, for example, for masks being required? I ask because I've seen both masks required and masks optional. So is there any guidance on like what language we should actually be using, or if it doesn't matter, you can sort of post the sign and say whichever
one? And what I would say, Judith, is what you see at the entrance to all buildings is on our websites. And again, our protocol differs from CDC's guidelines. We've actually are a little more restrictive than that. So again, if you look at the signage, it says orange and yellow masks are required when indoors. In the green, it is recommended, but not required. So that's the language we are using. Thanks,
Judith. Thank you. Okay, so we shouldn't veer from that and use terms like optional, for example.
No,
okay,
that is the policy and protocol of this district. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Jared, yeah, you're welcome.
Quick question. Ray, good to see you. Will COVID test kits still be available, say, through fall semester, fall spring?
Thank you. You are leading me now into the next section, which is great. Thank you. and so if I then go to, let me find the right one, I think it's right here. And this of course was an unanticipated change in terms of our testing services. So just to preface, and what I'll do is after I'm done, I'll share this one document here, and I know that it's small, I'll make it a little bigger, but you know, since we've had COVID clinics on our campuses and we made the commitment to have them readily available at each site, the usage has been extremely little to none on a daily basis. And so as we look at the beginning, we've had some days where, okay, they were up to 14, that was ever the highest, but mostly we see 3 or 4 or less across the district. And that's not sustainable. So any third party that we're working with would not be able to sustain that. And so I'll share these numbers just so that you all have them. But just to say, one of the things that happened out of that is we can no longer work in collaboration with a third party. And the testing services, at least for PCR, are not like what they were last winter, nor even in the next surge that is going to come up, are we going to see PCR testing demand even as high. So just to say, for those testing services, I just want to start with, we're continuing with the county site, which is at CSM. They will continue, and we have a contract with them through the February. So that is remaining. COVID clinics, they will not be on each campus anymore. However, they do have testing sites in the community. So it's the same process to sign up. And again, we've made available where they're located, and their hours are actually more expansive than we had. So that's positive news. before I answer your question, Jared, I am getting to yours. Just for everybody to be aware, federal government as today is, at the end of today, is no longer going to supply free testing kits. So if you haven't done so and you're eligible, do it today, because as of tomorrow, you'll no longer get them from the government. The district still has a commitment and will continue to have a commitment to provide free antigen testing as we have. Jim, if you're with us, could you just give a couple of statements just about how people can get those?
Absolutely. So you can either contact public safety and we can bring a test to you, or you can go by the bookstore and get a test at your convenience from the bookstore. We're happy to get them to you most convenient way possible. So we have them. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, is that district is going to continue to purchase them for the foreseeable future. There shouldn't be any problem getting them. So I just want to reiterate the fact that, you know, in most public safety services, we come to you. So don't feel like you have to come to Building 6 or make an appointment or anything like that. Call us up, ask for something. We're mobile. We drive around. We're on patrol. We'll come to you.
And Ray, just say, Kevin Chack, could you say what the hours are for the bookstore? Because people may also inform students, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So we're down to, we have about two dozen left. We're just waiting for the reload from public safety and district. But our store hours are Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5. And then on Fridays is 8 to 1. And then if you need a kit during the evening or if you're in a weekend class, you would just have to contact public safety for that, and they'll run it out to you.
And that's the 738-7000 number, right, Jim?
Correct. And we just ask that the request be, you know, reasonable and justifiable. You know, so if somebody needs 2 boxes or 10 boxes, whatever, we can do that. We've had some division to say, I'd like 100 boxes, and it's like, wow, that's gonna kind of wipe us out. So, you know, just ask for what you need, and there'll be more later on. But the intention is not to have each division have their own backstock.
And then one thing I wanted to bring up about the test kits—they are still with the July expiration dates, and I believe CDC issued the 90-day extension, so they're still good. That we're giving out.
Yeah.
Right. And then subsequently, I would just say for new test kits, they're going to be, you know, this is really the only lot where it's been extended. New kits will have the appropriate expiration dates on them. Just a couple of more things, Joe. I know I've run past, but people have often a lot of questions and comments. Let me see if I can find it. It's right there. I think it's. Nope. So just to say, I don't have it up and available, but an email went out last week about vaccinations. And so then we are offering a vaccination pop-up clinic. It is on the website for this coming Tuesday at CSM. And so we'll do one more promotion. I'll work with the district PIO just to send out one more promotion. I am trying to get a regular schedule with the county. They haven't been able to give that to me, and I have a feeling we're going to be doing one by one. But just to let you know, I'm trying, because we like to prepare for the full semester. On that note, in terms of vaccination, and actually, Jessica, I'm looking over at you because you might have more recent information than me. Our vaccination policy still stands as it is right now, meaning vaccination is defined as the primary vaccination for our district in order for students and staff to access our campuses right now. People can submit an exemption. We still are following that process. And for both students and staff, they must weekly test. So that's where it stands right now. I do know the chancellor has been working with leadership in constituency groups to set up an ad hoc task force. I've not heard any news in terms of how far along are we. So Jessica, I was just gonna ask you if you just had any update on that. You're on mute.
I just wanted to say at our AFT union retreat that we appointed our president, Monica Malamud, to be our representative, but we're really still waiting to hear from the chancellor and hope that, since he said that he did want to present policies for the board in early fall. We really hope that we will be hearing more about that soon. Thank you.
Yeah, and again, I think we can both push on our different sides because I too am eager to just move this forward as well because time is running out. Our expiration really is student registration for spring. So we can't wait or delay. I think those were all the pieces that I wanted to make mention. Tina, while we have you here, I have not touched base with you, but I would like to meet with you and Maggie just to get a sense of any varied protocols with the Child Development Center. So you'll hear from me soon, okay?
All right, that sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Are there any other questions for Ray? Thanks so much, Ray.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So back to our agenda. Next, let's just take a quick look. We have selection of committee chairperson and approval of the calendar. Just to take a look at our bylaws, which we approved last year in our last meeting of the semester. We have what our functions are, what our overview is in terms of our responsibilities, who we report to, we're recommending body. And it says here the chair is selected annually within the committee. And I think the default has always been that it would go to, well, it ended up being me last year. So I'm fine. I'd be fine continuing, but I'm also fine not continuing if people have a different view on it. But I'm also cognizant of the fact that I don't want to put people on the spot in this meeting. So what I was thinking, if people were agreeable to this, if people are interested in being the chair, that they could reach out directly to, and I would say to Paul, since Paul's a non-voting member, and that we could agendize this at the next meeting to select a chair for the committee. That way we could email out the agenda in advance for who's ever interested, and then we can go through the process of selecting a committee chair. Does that sound reasonable to everyone? Because I don't want to try and put someone on the spot in this meeting, but I'm open to suggestions. Like I said, you're welcome to the job if you want. but that's okay. So why don't we do that? If you are interested, please email Paul directly, and then we can go on ahead and vote on it at the next meeting. What I did want to cover on this was our meeting dates. So per our bylaws, we meet the first Thursday of the month from 12:45 to 2:05. Why that time frame? Meetings used to be an hour. We need the extra time. There's a lot of things for us to discuss. We're slated on this first Thursday. We have to finish before 2:10 because Academic Senate and Classified Senate meet at 2:10 on this Thursday, and we start at 12:45 because classes generally end at 12:25 on Thursday. And we're scheduled for the first of the month. So what I did on the agenda is I put in these dates for this year as our meeting dates. Does that look reasonable to everyone? Because we can also, and we need to stick with these dates, but if there was the need for an additional meeting, we can always take action for that. We could try and schedule a meeting in January if we really wanted to. But I wanted to throw that out that these are the meeting dates for the semester. Are there any questions on that? And I don't see any, so okay. We're good on that. So then why don't we move on to constituent updates? Jessica.
Hi, everyone. This is super quick, but as part of our bylaws to raise health awareness on campus, faculty had come to us asking how the district was managing education of constituents around monkeypox. And so we reached out, and Dr. Walter Chang, who's the physician for Skyline College, has a presentation in the works that will be a general presentation for students and employees. And that's all.
Okay. Jessica, did he say when he might be doing it at all?
He said 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
A week ago.
No, that's fine. Then it's good. Judith, is that something that would be scheduled through the health center or Donna? Would you have any updates on
that? Yeah, I'm not sure. I was in that email thread with Jessica. So right now, Walter just let us know that, yeah, that he had something that he could do for us. So I think the four of us, including Walter Chang, will sort of be in contact to figure out how we're going to schedule that.
Okay. And would it be a face-to-face or Zoom, or how would it work? And I don't need the details. I just think people might ask that at the divisions.
Yes. My guess is it'll be via Zoom.
Okay.
But once we have more information, we'll definitely share that out.
Okay. Roundtable. Things that folks would want to discuss. It's open. Just raise your hand. Lori. Lori Slickman.
Yeah. Hi.
The two Lori's. I'm always there.
Lori, yes. Right. So I got an email or two from some faculty in Building One, and there's a hydration station, I guess, put in a bathroom. And the question, they were kind of put off by a hydration station in a bathroom. They wished it were in the hallway. And the question is whether or not the intention is it's going to stay in the restroom, or is it going to go back out in the hallway like others?
Yeah, I'll find out what's going on with that, Lori.
Okay.
But it's in Building One restroom, a hydration station?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, they just have seen too much go on in the bathroom and didn't want to fill their water bottle.
Lori, which floor is it on? First, second,
third floor? I think it's the third floor. Maybe it's an all-gender bathroom.
Okay.
I don't know, John, you might know better. I don't think there are very many hydration stations in Building One.
No, but I'll find out and I'll email you back.
Yeah, I think the wish is if it could be put in the hallway out of the bathroom, they would appreciate it.
Okay.
Otherwise, they're going to keep bringing bottled water.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jessica and then Robert. Jessica, you're muted.
Sure. I just wanted to just a follow up on that. What is the process for one's building to get a hydration station? Because in the library, the water tastes terrible, and it would be great to have a hydration station in Building 5. That was my first comment. And then just a quick question. I know we appointed, or we have new folks, new faculty on our committee, and I'm not sure what the process is to get those names over to the Academic Senate to approve those folks officially. And then just a third comment was, I know we're now reporting to the CGC. We're able to give committee reports from this committee to that committee, and I just wondered if we had a liaison. Thanks.
Okay. So, John, if you take the hydration station.
Yeah.
And then I'll take the last two.
Okay. So, Jessica, I'll send you the form to submit a facility project request. And basically, you just get with your team and see where you guys want to install it. And then your dean will sign it, and then I'll put an estimated cost on it. And then it goes to Joe Morello for funding approval. Okay, but I'll send you the form.
Thank you so much.
John's making it sound like I got all the money in the world. Thanks, John. just send Joe Morello the bill. So Jessica, I don't think we need to send faculty members to Academic Senate for this committee. This isn't a 10 plus one committee, so I don't think we send that membership to Academic Senate, but I'll reach out to Lindsay and see if there's an expectation that we're supposed to be doing that. And then I'd be more than willing to do it. So I'll follow up on that. And then on College Governance Council, so I sit on College Governance Council. I can certainly bring in a monthly report when we meet, and I'd be more than willing to. There's the VPA section at that time. So if we have something to report, I can do it at that time. Okay. So I'm just writing down my note, but I see more hands. So Robert, and then it's Miss Sal.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question. So I noticed going back to the cell phone thing, and I understand bad reception. So what do you do if you're out on campus in a bad cellular reception and something happens where you're injured? I don't see emergency blue boxes. I've been to other places that use them and they do work, but I also understand they're very expensive to install and the maintenance on that is can be pricey. So I'm kind of shocked that we don't have that here. I did a little tour of the campus and I thought, you know, hey, you know, I do have a disability. What if my disability acts up and I'm out in the parking lot, like parking lot C, and I can't walk for some reason because, you know, I have a meniscal tear or something and I need help, but I don't have cell phone reception. I don't see a blue box. So what would I do in that instance?
So John, do we have any, I thought I saw a couple of blue boxes, and this isn't Robert, you probably didn't see them because I don't think they're multiple and out in a lot of different directions. Aren't there a couple of blue boxes on the campus?
Yeah, there's one on building 4 and building 3.
Okay. And I think, Robert, what you're saying is because cellular reception. So to answer your question, I mean, what most people end up doing is they end up trying to get into a building to a landline, you know, if they absolutely have to, you know, to get that reception or to get that connection if they absolutely have to. I know when people are outdoors, it's a continuing concern, right? With that cellular viability. Jim is right. Jim, if you're on here, what are some suggestions that you might have for the situation that Robert described?
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, the schools and campuses that have the blue boxes, like UC Berkeley and so forth, are much bigger campuses that, you know, are sprawling, and there's a lot of open space or spaces away from buildings, you know, sometimes half a mile or a mile. We're not quite designed that way. As I mentioned earlier, you know, you're having personal knowledge of your own cellular capabilities is critical. So you need to know where you need to be to get cell reception on campus. I can tell you, I'm Verizon, for example. And while cellular reception is not great, it's not absolutely non-existent or completely horrible. I'm on my cell phone all day long at campus, and I'm checking email and text messages and all sorts of things. It's very rare that I don't have any reception whatsoever. When I'm traveling around campus, I generally can make calls, receive calls and texts and so forth. Occasionally a call will get dropped, but I'm able to reconnect quickly again just by basically moving around, sometimes as little as 10, 15 feet. So, you know, it more than likely you're going to be able to get through depending where you're at. And some of our buildings are older and they've got thicker walls and so forth. But if you go by a window or if you just step outside, you'll get cell reception back. Another thing that a lot of people are not aware of is if you connect to Wi-Fi calling, then you're basically on the faculty Wi-Fi, which has a much stronger signal. So that's another option to get around not having good cellular reception is by using the Wi-Fi. And that's a simple setting in your Android or iPhone settings where you can turn on Wi-Fi calling. Some cellular providers will require you to contact them to get that turned on, but it should not be any additional cost. And I know Wi-Fi on campus is fairly strong and it's always getting stronger as ITS is improving reception. And you can always request that, you know, Wi-Fi relays be added to your area. I know not too long ago they were added to the area right outside Fireside Dining in the outside area just south of Building 6, and there's, you know, great reception for Wi-Fi there now. So there's definitely workarounds, and as you try things and get more familiar with it, you'll see that you will have some communication availability.
Okay. Robert, did that, I know it's not a perfect answer, but that's the answer. Did it answer the question that you had?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi thing I was, you know, I knew about from the IT background, but my thing was when I was going out to Lot C, I was noticing, hey, if I was somebody who got injured and it's at night or something, how would I call out for help if my cell phone didn't work or whatnot? You know, for me, I personally know what to do, but if it was someone who, you know, student or whatnot, didn't feel safe. I mean, it's Lot C is across and up in that area by the trail. So, right, you know, right, what would they do in that situation? So that's what I was thinking of.
And what I can do is I can invite, what might be good for this committee on a future agenda is our head, the ITS, the people from ITS at the district level in the camp to come in and talk with us about cellular reception and what can and can't be done, and what are some possibilities for us. And we could agendize that and make that a major discussion item for that particular meeting. Ms. Sal.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask Lori to also, maybe she could follow up with me about the water bottle. Or the hydration station. I have a slightly different recollection, but I might as well just go and look. Because I'm up there on the third floor, right near the bathroom. So anyway, I'll check it out on Tuesday.
And that's fine. And it's not a problem, John. We can reach out to the folks managing the project too, and just ask what's going on it.
Yeah.
Because John, right, John?
Yeah, we have a meeting with them at 2:00 today.
Right, you get to go first.
Yep.
All right, anything else for the roundtable? Okay, so then quick, we'll do the updates and then we'll go from there. So the SMCCCD smoking policy, in case you are unaware, and again, this was in part of the handouts that came out, the campuses are now smoke-free campuses. Smoke, and this applies to vaping and tobacco products. That is a new board policy. So you will see the smoking areas, those designated areas, disappearing, right? In terms of a place where people can smoke. Smoking is not supposed to occur in the parking lots. It is supposed to be a totally smoke-free area. I believe there is a district-wide committee that's working on signage. I know there's supposed to be an educational component to that as well. And Jim, maybe you could speak to this. It's my understanding, at least at the start, it's about educating people, you know, not running up and saying, hey, this is, hey, don't smoke or something like that. It's, hey, just so that you know, this is a smoke-free campus, please stop smoking or something like that. And that we would try and educate and work with folks that are on the campus about that. But the board passed it last year and it's effective at this point. So there's not supposed to be any smoking on campus. Jim, do you have any additional information on that? He probably doesn't, so that's fine. But just so that we're aware of that moving forward, we talked a great deal about parking already. The great shakeout is 10-2022. First aid and CPR we went through, building captains. District safety committee updates, or our committee at the end of last meeting in the May made a recommendation to the district safety committee to have a rep, one AFT, one CSEA, one ASME rep serve on the district safety committee. If you remember, we recommend, the groups that we recommend to are either the College Governance Committee or the district safety committee. The district safety committee took it up. I attached the minutes from that meeting, discussed it. And what they've agreed to do is they're going to start recording those meetings and making them available on request. So at least there's that level of transparency there, and that they're going to take that recommendation under consideration this year. That committee is going to do what the local committees did last year. Because we talked about it, you know, people get placed on that committee. We don't know how they get placed on that committee, how that's going to work. You know, what is the representation? What is the function of the committee? So that's what the district safety committee will be doing this year, to make sure that we have established bylaws, membership, everything else that you're seeing at the local committees. And at that point, it may be possible that we would invite those groups in to be on that committee. So it wasn't a yes and it wasn't a no. It was like, we're going to get this set for ourselves and then we'll make a determination at that point. So that was an update on that. And then the fall lockdown barricade drill, there will be a scheduled fall lockdown barricade drill. We don't publicly announce the date and the time, and I want to briefly explain why on that. If someone wanted to cause havoc, they would do it at the time of the drill, right? Because people would be confused. They'd say, oh, this is a drill and something could happen. That being said, I want everyone to know here that the deans and those that do public facing events are going to be notified on the date and the times, but we're not going to publicly announce it in terms of what goes on. And that's the reason why. If someone wanted to cause havoc on campus, if we publicly announced that time, that would be a perfect opportunity for them to cause havoc, because people would just assume it's a drill and not know any different. So that will be coming. It will be coming this fall. It will not be on a Thursday because we're not going to do it the same day as the great shakeout date. So I can give you that one piece of information. It definitely will not be a Thursday. But the areas, the deans in each area will know, and they're tasked with letting people know, you know, on an individual basis. Are there any questions on those updates? Seeing none, future agenda items. So Jared, great. Robert, great. I agree. Cellular reception here is terrible. And I think we've always just kind of accepted it. And I'd really like to do some pushing to see what we can do to make it better. Because I agree, it is a safety issue. In terms of the world has evolved over the last 20 years. I mean, I worked at Cal and they had the blue boxes because there were no cell phones at that time. Right. There was nothing. So they had the boxes all out there, and we really need to do something to try and improve that. Yes, Jason.
Just one thing I wanted to recommend is I remember during the pandemic, we installed Wi-Fi in some of the parking lots. So that might be an option for using your Wi-Fi calling or using email or some form of communication.
Okay. And like I said, what we might do is bring in, because I'm not a technical expert at all. I'm lucky I can turn my phone on. So I think to bring in the ITS folks to kind of give us and maybe put aside a half an hour in a meeting for them to kind of walk us through and what the options are, I think would be really good for us. And then maybe establish some concrete steps forward. Even if it's recommendations of physical plant changes that we could put out there. Robert.
Yeah, thank you. I just make it real brief. But, you know, when I was walking out, you know, by Lotsy, I mean, it's gorgeous campus and whatnot, but you also have trails. You have where the public can kind of get in and out. And so my main concern is, you know, if a student gets harmed or something, you know, abducted or whatever, there really is no way to say, hey, you know, help security or whatnot. I mean, you could probably maybe set up a wireless access point, which is fine. But the thing is, you know, there's really no way to scream out. I mean, especially if it's in the middle of the night or if you have small children and then the parent has to stay there with a child. Let's say we have an event or something. It's kind of like, well, they don't have access to the inside of our buildings when they're outside. So to me, that's kind of like an issue, because you have the outside coming in into a way. Because I mean, you have a trail right there. It has a big old sign. So, I mean, what do we do in that instance? Mm-hmm. I think ITS coming in and, you know, us taking a look at, you know, some configurations would help not just us, the staff, but, you know, the students and then any general population for if there's an event or something.
Well, and it's also my understanding that it's terrible within the local communities as well, right? That if you lived in some of the housing that's nearby, and once you leave your house, you lose the reception, right? That's there. So it's, and as Jim said, I think it's that we just don't have the towers. Something about this area. We draw fog and terrible cellular reception are the two things that happen at Skyline. All right, anything else? That brings us to the end of our agenda. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time and meeting with us today. Great start to having all of you here. We look forward to having you serve on the committee. And I want to wish you a very good day. Have a good Labor Day weekend. I hope you're able to take a couple of days and relax and enjoy the time with your loved ones and whoever you hang out with. And stay cool. It is going to be warm out there. So definitely take care of yourselves. Okay? Have a great day, everyone.